We're thinking about trusting in God and His Word, and I've been reading through Proverbs in my own devotions as well as other things. And in Proverbs 3, chapters verses 5 to 7, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." But often the verse that isn't on the bumper sticker is, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." And I was thinking about this. I've been preparing the talk this week, and in the first service, I thought about this, and I thought there is something here about fearing the Lord, which is not a kind of popular thing to say and talk about. But over many generations, people spoke about fearing the Lord. Some people called it hell, fire, and brimstone preaching. But God is a God of love, but He is to be feared. He is to be feared rightfully, and we are to be in awe of God. And I wonder whether we've lost some of that stuff, where we're kind of walking around a bit high, and I kind of do my own thing, and you do your own thing, and well, my life's a bit of a mess, and I need a bit of a software update on my life. I know it's not right, but I need a bit of an upgrade here on my life. But how often do we come to the point where we are literally on our knees and we're saying, "God, you are an awesome God. I fear you because you are otherly. You are not like me. And so I need to humble myself before you because wisdom does not come from me. It does not come from being wise in my own eyes. It doesn't come from your degrees. It doesn't come from your master's degrees. It doesn't come from your PhDs. It doesn't come from how much of an influencer you are. It comes from fearing the Lord." And this morning, we rightfully, by the Spirit, need to be awakened again to the awesomeness and the otherness of God. There are over 300 times in the Bible where it talks about fearing the Lord. So there's got to be something in this. There's got to be something in fearing the Lord. And you're like, "Well, I don't like the sound of that. I'm not sure I want peace. I don't want fear. I don't want peace." But what we're talking about is this awe and awesomeness of God, where you are just so awesome that I just need you. I just need to drop on my knees right now because you are otherly. And all this other stuff is stuff. And I don't want to waste my life. I want to be surrendered to you. I want to submit to you. And one of the commonalities, I've spoken about this before, in times of revival like Lewis and Wales, is that there is this fear of the Lord, which has been described like a thick cloud which covers a town or a village. And so people come out of their houses and they're just awakened to how small they are, but how big God is. And it's like, drop to your knees. Stop doing what you are doing. Give up your addictions. Stop wasting your life. Stop trying to find success and fame in your own way, and actually fear the Lord. Revere Him, because He's awesome and He's worthy of our praise. And don't you, if you're honest, really want that? Don't you know that you have tasted of many things that do not satisfy? You've tried it in work. You've tried it in relationships. You've tried it in academics. You've tried it in mindfulness or all kinds of things or whatever the latest thing is. We want that reality. And it comes through us seeing God for who He is. Do not be wise. Do not be wise in your own eyes. This is a word for me. I love reading. I love academics. I just want to do a little bit more. Well, maybe I could do a PhD. Maybe. Don't be wise in your own eyes. It says in Proverbs 3, fear the Lord and shun evil. Shun evil. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And why should we then fear the Lord? I mean, what's the deal here? Why do we fear the Lord? What's the problem? Why should we do that? Well, here's something else that could be uncomfortable and unpopular. But God is otherly and holy. And so what you and I deserve, because our understanding is flawed by sin, what you and I deserve is God's wrath. We do not deserve to live eternally. And so when Adam and Eve sinned and sin entered the world and that relationship was broken, what we were due for was punishment. And this is old school, and I know we don't hear it much, but I'll be getting an amen from Leslie in a minute because he tells me every week, give it some, right? Keep shouting the amens, and I'll keep going, okay? Because the wrath of God was due for us. Isn't that right, Leslie? Let me hear an amen. Amen. And the point of the cross is that Jesus stood in our place, that we wouldn't receive the wrath. And so rightfully, we need to fear God and say, there is not just this life and me and all the good things are happening and the things that I moan about and groan about, but we submit to him and we say, you are holy. And there is eternity and there is lost eternity that the Bible calls hell, and there is eternity with him which he calls heaven and being with him in glory. And this is how serious it is to wake up to having a fear of the Lord. Because do you know what happens when we don't? We have a fear of something else. We fear death. We fear cancer. We fear what our kids are up to. We meditate every day and are in awe and worship of something. All of us in this room will wake up and at some point will be worrying about something. And if that's not you, you come and speak to me afterwards. I want to know what your secret is. Because we're all worriers. Because we default to fearing things. That's why there's so many problems. I'm not negating chemical problems in terms of people's mental health. I know that mental health is not straightforward. I'm talking about a deep rooted soul problem here, which is we will default to fearing things. And so what God wants you and me to do is fear him, because then we get the right perspective. Then we get led in his ways. And then people will say, well, hold on a minute. Everyone else is freaking out about coronavirus here. Everyone else is freaking out about the fact that there seems to be so many celebrity suicides. How come it is that you're not freaking out about this stuff? We say, we fear the Lord. See, the beginning of wisdom is we fear the Lord. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Can't you see how this is a prophetic word for our age? Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, I discovered only about 5 months ago, because I'm not as down with the kids as I used to be, that there's this thing called influencers. And all the young ones are like, oh yeah, come on. But anyone over 40 is like, what's that? And an influencer gets paid as a job to be an influencer on social media. Like, oh, I just love this pair of new Nike trainers. They're the best pair of Nike trainers. You should just go get some, right? And they get paid for that stuff. It's a job. What's happened to the world? Influencers are trying to be wise in their own eyes. Can't you see it? Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Get on your knees and pray like your life depends on it. Get on your knees and pray for others that they would be kept from a lost eternity. And know the love of God. There's no juxtaposition between the love of God and the wrath of God. Because he's a loving God, he saw the problem of sin and he sent Jesus to die on the cross, that that problem would be redeemed in Christ. And we can know it. We can know it today. We might have been coming here for years. You can know it today if you've never known it for the first time. But in Proverbs 3, 5 to 7, it says, living by faith starts with trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts. If our hearts are rooted in things other than God, we will love things more than him. Let me just say that again. We need to really hear this. If our hearts are rooted in things other than God, we will love those things more than him. So we wonder why our life's a bit, whoa, it's a bit not quite lining up here. It's because our hearts can be rooted in things other than him. And our hearts will be divided. Look what it says in Proverbs 3. I mean, something you recited at holiday club or kids club or whatever, you've known it for years. But look what it says. Trust in the Lord with what? Some of your heart? With what? A little bit of your heart? 50%, 60%? Let's go 75. We'll call it 75. No, it's all of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. So our hearts cannot be divided as those who want to believe in him. We cannot love the things of this world and love Jesus. We've got to be all in. Might not feel like we're all in, but we submit, we surrender. We say, I'm all in. All of my heart, I want to trust you, Lord. Show me what that is to trust you. We are to trust God with all our hearts and not have a divided heart. Living by faith then starts with not leaning on our own understanding. It is trusting by faith in Jesus as is revealed in the word. To live by faith, we need to trust in Jesus. It's simple, but it can be difficult. And that involves leaning on him. So let's just take an example from a chair. Maybe you just get me a chair there, Marsha, if you would. Thank you very much. I know you've been very active and busy running around all morning. So, you know, we look at a chair and you're just like, come on, it's a chair, right? You're not walking in here and going, right, okay, I'm just going to walk around that chair a little bit. I'm just checking out these four legs. I'm just wondering the physics of that. Is that going to hold me up right now? Okay, let me just think about that for a minute or two. Maybe I'll just pray about this for a minute to see whether I should sit on that chair or not. Okay, well, I think I can do it now. I think I'll sit on the chair. Oh, amazing. It's not collapsed. Isn't it incredible? We don't do that because we're used to just coming in and sitting on the chair. And we kind of acquired that knowledge. But interestingly, we were up seeing some friends in St. Andrews last weekend, and we were in this cafe restaurant, and this guy sat down in the chair next to me, and it buckled, and his hand ended up on my lap. And he obviously hadn't checked out the physics of that chair, so now I don't want to make you kind of paranoid and safety conscious now when we're coming in, checking all the chairs. We have a committee for chair checking, but you see what I'm getting at? It's like we've got to lean and sit on the chair to exercise faith. We've got to do it. We've got to trust, but the way we do it is through Jesus. The way we do it is through Jesus. So the challenge is not just leaning on our own understanding, but it's trusting in him. But in a media-saturated world where we have FOMO, the fear of missing out, more than ever, then we can be all too easy just looking at what the world has to offer and not trusting and understanding that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. It's utterly paradoxical to the world we live in. It's utterly topsy-turvy that it begins with fearing the Lord. And we need Jesus to live by faith. That sounds ridiculously simple as well. But just think about that. Are we trying to live by faith without Jesus? Because you can't live by faith without Jesus. What do I mean by that? Well, a verse I've been thinking about quite a lot over the past few months is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's break this down a bit. So the Christian has been crucified with Christ, and they no longer live. I think that's a hard thing for us in a narcissistic, self-obsessed generation to get our heads around. What do you mean I don't live? You see, I've got to be an influencer. I've got to make my mark on this world. I can't just die. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. We've been crucified. So you do not longer live. Goodbye the old Clive. Goodbye the old Marshall. Goodbye the old Kenny. You're gone. You're dead. I don't live. And then you're like, well, how do you live then? How do you move? How do you operate? Well, I move and operate because Christ lives in me. It's not me up here preaching the old Clive. This is Christ in me. So how do you make that stuff work? Well, the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith. Not just any old faith, but in the Son of God. So every Christian is operating by faith in Jesus. And the gravity of the transformation is not that you've just had an Apple Mac update on your phone or update on your life. You have died to self. And you come alive in Jesus by the Spirit. And we live and we operate then by faith in the Son of God. We operate by faith. So we got to be operating by faith, not in the kind of, well, I know how to do this and you know how to do that. That's how we've always done it. No, we operate by faith in Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. You want to know how to live? You look at the cross. You die, but you come alive and you become more alive. And I become more alive as I put my faith and trust and I lean on him and not my own understanding. So knowing and trusting Jesus is about being rooted in Christ, not in other things. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. So like some people are like, well, do you think you're going to, you know, become a Christian? Or do you think you're kind of a bit religious? Are you going to do that religious thing? I mean, you're a bit religious, aren't you? People will say to you at work. This is not about just doing a religious thing. I've actually died and I've risen again in Christ. My whole life is changed. So the challenge for us is, if that is the case, am I living by faith? Or am I living like the old person that I used to know? If our hearts are rooted in other things, other than Jesus, then we will love these things more. But they will not satisfy us. And more importantly, they will not save us. There is only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. He is the one who saves us from ourselves. But however, living by faith is a process. We don't just wake up one morning, and I've seen this happen. You know, I used to work in universities, and people say, oh, you know, anyone can become a Christian. It's just mind tricks and blah, blah, blah. I say, okay, right, you just tell me now that you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. He died on the cross for you. He's risen again, and you can have eternal life. And people can't do it. Because it's a spiritual act. It needs the Spirit to open our eyes, to open our ears, to work in our hearts, to show us who Jesus is, and then we can take that step. But even taking that step is difficult. For 3 years, a guy called Neil has been selling me frozen fish at the door of our house, and he was here at the first service. And this past week, I've had 3 conversations with Neil, and one of them was about redemption, and we had that conversation for 40 minutes about redemption. And he said to me just on Thursday, you know, I feel like I'm standing at the door, and I know that Jesus has come for me and to redeem me, but I'm just not ready to take that step yet. And so he came this morning, and he heard this sermon, and then Sam and Mary are here, and Sam and I prayed for him that he would receive that forgiveness. So do pray for Neil that it will become alive in him, that will take root in him. But can't we see how you just cannot logically or functionally just go, yeah, sure, I believe in Jesus. Because it's a spiritual battle and it's a spiritual transformation, but we need to want to seek him and we need to want to live by faith. But secondly, we need to live by the Spirit. In all your ways, submit to him. Proverbs 3:6. So Francis Schaeffer once said that we need to do God's work in God's way for God's glory. We need to do God's work in God's way for God's glory. Now this involves prayer and dependence on him. The only way that you can do God's work in God's way for God's glory is by the Holy Spirit. In order to trust in God and live in the truth of God's word, there needs to be change in us. Galatians 5:16, as Marcia was reading out earlier. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. Can't you see that? Don't you know that? Don't you feel that? You want to go God's way, but you end up, oh man, I've messed up. I've gone that way. I've gone down the way of flesh. They are in conflict with one another. So here's something that I'd never seen so clearly in the light of what I'm talking about. They're in conflict with each other, so you are not to do whatever you want. Isn't that another prophetic message for our age? Hey, if it feels good, you just do it, right? Just open a can of Coke and you can feel happiness, right? It's really all about you. It's really all about me massaging your ego so you can feel a lot better about yourself. And hey, let's transpose that to church, because I don't want you coming here feeling that you haven't had your ego massaged and you going out that door saying, hey, that's a bit heavy, isn't it? You see, this is the difference, is that we cannot do just whatever we want, but we want to do what we want. We just fool ourselves. We're sold the image of just be whatever you want to be. Do whatever you want to be. And I want to suggest to you that our society is utterly messed up as a result of this, because we've forgotten to trust in God. We've forgotten to trust in his truth. And we're actually just creating more and more confusion. It's like Babel. Just do whatever you want to do. Go wherever you want to go. Well, you know, it doesn't really matter. Well, it does matter. People get hurt. People don't get cared for. People are unkind. And so we need to try and see that our lives are not our own, because if we've been crucified with Christ and we've come alive in him, they're not our own. So it is not my car, it's God's car that I own. But I don't own it. I don't possess it. It's not my house, it's actually God's house. And it's not my work, it's God's work. See how we want to possess everything, but everything belongs to God. And so when we live by the Spirit, we do not have a hand that holds on so tightly. You cannot have this. You're not going to use this. You're not going to do this. But we open our hands open and say, this is God's. This is God's church. This is God's work. This is God's money. This is God's house. This is God's car. This is his. Bless one another. Living by the Spirit is doing God's work in God's way for God's glory. But we need to live by faith in Jesus and actively seek the Holy Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. Because you might have come to a point in our life and say, well, I've put my faith and trust in Jesus, but then it's like, it stopped. The car stopped. And maybe for some of us, the car has stopped for the past 5 years or even 10 years. To grow spiritually, we need to keep in step with the Spirit. We need to live by the Spirit and not just live in the flesh doing our own thing. And as we move to the last point now, living by truth. Proverbs 3, 6 and 7, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Now, I began that at the start of this talk. Where does wisdom come from? What is wisdom? What does it look like? How do we pursue it? Well, in John 8:31, we're told elsewhere, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, the word of God, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're living in a relativistic age that is messed up, that just says truth can be whatever you want it to be. Truth is fluid. Truth, it doesn't have any foundations. Well, good luck with that. Because we stand on the rock that is Jesus, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can be tempted, proud people who think that wisdom comes from us when it doesn't. It's about fearing the Lord, having the right perspective. And so we can think that we need to better ourselves. We need to think we need to be more worthy. We need to be more productive. We need to have a greater presence on social media. We need to be better in crowd at school. We need to be seeking promotion and be the man or the woman in the workplace. But wisdom and truth begins with fearing the Lord, and we revere and worship him, rightfully knowing that he is a loving God. Jesus embodies the truth and taught truth. And so he spoke truth to the religious leaders and to the poor. You notice that it wasn't just the academics, it was the poor and anyone. He speaks to us today as we read the Bible and we see Christ calling us in the pages of Scripture. That is why we need to be in the Word. Jesus doesn't just exist in the Gospels. We see Christ throughout the whole of the Bible. We see it all pointing to Jesus. We see Christ calling us in the Gospels, though, to follow me. We see him saying that I am the way, the truth, and the life. We see him dying on the cross and rising again. We see in Scripture him going up to heaven and saying that one day he will return to judge the living and the dead. That's that sobering point, again, that should make us be on our knees and in awe and in worship of him. He wants us to look to him and to the word and follow him, delighting in his word, meditating on his word, knowing that that's where freedom comes from. And so as we close, let me just ask a couple of questions. Do you know what it is to live by faith in Christ today? You can know that today. We can put our faith and trust in Jesus even today. He came and died on the cross for you. He knew you even when he was on that cross. Rising again, he's enabled you to know his forgiveness. He's enabled you to live by faith. Do you know what it is to live by the Spirit today? Are you submitting your ways to him? Or are you saying, I'm not submitting to anyone? Are you submitting to God today by the Spirit? Are you doing God's work in God's way for his glory? Or are you living in your own steam? And lastly, do you know what it is to live by truth? Do you see that the word brings freedom and life as we meditate upon the word? If all we ever do is read Hello magazine or read stuff that is kind of messed up or watch films that are messed up, that's what we're meditating on, and that is what we'll get a navigation sign for in life. It's not wrong to engage with culture, but we need to feed ourselves on the word and meditate on the word, because it's there that the truth sets us free. Let's turn to God and his word, and let's see that it's only Jesus that's going to make that possible for you and make it possible for me. So let's turn to him and let's pray. And I'm just going to ask Nee to come up. Nee, if you want to play, and then we're just going to pray and the band will come up as we close. But just as Nee plays, let's just ask the Holy Spirit, what's maybe one thing that God is saying to you as a result of what we've just heard in his word? What is he saying to you? Let's not ignore it. Let's not run away from it. Embrace what God is saying by the Holy Spirit. And as, Father, as we thought about that, what you're saying to us, maybe some of us are struggling to even hear anything. And that's why we need to go back to your word to meditate on what even you're saying in Proverbs 3. Help us to have the right perspective. Forgive us for the times where we don't fear you, but we fear people. We fear situations, we fear the unknown. And Lord, would you release us as individuals and as a church from unnecessary fear, and give us boldness, but humility in approaching your throne of grace, that we will see and rightfully fear you and your name, and that we'll be unashamed of the gospel, because it is the good news for the world. Revive in us, God, a passion for your name. Revive in us a rightful fear of your name. Increase courage in us, God. We're so fearful. So much of the time, we need your courage. We need your Holy Spirit. We need you, God. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.